Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water. All with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger. Fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, knife nuts of all ages, welcome to another episode of Knife Talk Podcast. Hey, how's it going? My name is Marco Malmasi. I'm here with Jeff Fader of Fader Knives and Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. And we're here to talk knives, answer questions, have a little fun, little slaps and tickles here and there. But we like to start it off with the week. Craig, you want to kick us off? How's your week been?
Okay, stressful. So last week I sort of told everybody about me testing positive for COVID. Thankfully, I had a couple of rough nights, but I tested good again from Tuesday. So I've been fine, actually. I've been quite lucky. I think a lot of people have had it far worse, so I can't complain. So yeah, all good. Everything's come together in the house. We're nearly there. We're finishing a bathroom and we're pretty much there. The exterior of the house is like, it's like the First World War. There's just mud everywhere. We're having trenches being done and stuff dug up. Oh, it's so every time you walk to the house, you're just covered in mud and shit and crap. But no, it's all good. We are. This could well be the last show before I have another child. So
wow,
yes. So we are due to go back into the hospital on Monday. So by the time most people hear this, I say we as if I'm doing the work.
Yeah, we.
Oh, it was a terrible birth. I really struggled.
We're pregnant. When people say we're pregnant, it's just like, you're not.
Yeah. But we've been told that Amy may be induced on Monday.
Wow.
So we go on Monday with our bags packed and, you know, ready to roll. So yeah, it's interesting times, and we're still not in this new house fully. So I think we're gonna have another 2 weeks in the rental house across the road, with a new baby, and then move in when everything is fully comfortable and fully ready. You know,
when they told Amy that she might be induced on when this podcast comes out, as the listeners are listening to this, was she relieved or?
Yeah, she is. She's relieved. She is massive. Absolutely huge, far bigger than she was with the twins.
And really,
huge. And she's just not sleeping at all. She's lucky to get sort of 2-3 hours a night.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
She's ready for this to come out. You know, it needs to happen. It needs to happen now.
So now that we know that she's probably going to be by the next time the baby's born, while people are listening to this, you want to give us the name that it's going to be, or no one will know until.
Well, there's a chance that she won't be induced on Monday. So
tricky little bastard.
Will it
be a Sharple clue?
You know what? On the day that the baby comes out, Sharple that day will be the baby's, and that's how people can find. That's the big reveal. Nice. I like that. The Sharple.
You're welcome. Good. You're welcome.
Yeah. Sharple on that day will be the baby's name. Okay. Yeah, what else has been going on? So I made a huge decision this week regarding the business. Basically, I'm no longer taking customer orders. It's
good
become
for you.
Well,
you came out fast with that one, Marco. Good work.
Yeah, not out of choice, to be honest with you, because you know I want to be making stuff and selling to people. I'm just having so many problems with shipping. It's just been absolutely ridiculous. And I actually, you know, cause it's been quite a big week and I'm thinking, am I going to do this? Am I going to pull customer orders and only do commercial orders? So I was looking to see, so the last big run that I did was the folding knife, the H knife. There was 80 plus sent out and I've refunded 27.
Whoa. Oh my God.
27. That's nearly a third. And obviously that, you know, the work is still done. I'm still putting the time in, still in the materials and everything still happens, but it's, you know, so yeah, it's until things are sorted out, you know, I've got a possible solution for this, but well, you know, whilst we're waiting for the baby and that, I can't be doing any of these.
Were they all lost or?
Just lost, not found.
Really?
The problem, or most probable still in customs. The problem that I'm having is having to use La Poste, which is the French sort of national postal service here. When you ship internationally, you don't get a tracking number until it gets to that country. So let's say it's going to the States, it could then end up with DHL or FedEx or whatever, and then you'd get your shipping number from there. So archaic, the postal system here, it doesn't link up with any of these other carriers. So you can't even give a tracking number, and it's just absolute nightmare. And I every week I get, you know, people saying, "Oh, I don't use FedEx. Why don't you use that?" I mean, we're very remote here, so to use FedEx, who say, "Yeah, we'll cover the whole world. We'll pick up from anywhere." They will, but that would mean my price goes up by 50% almost. You know, so
wow.
So it's not as simple as that. You know, sure. So yeah, I do have a solution which I'll be implementing. You know. In some time, not quite yet, because there's so much else going on. But that will require me just once a week taking a sort of 8-hour return drive, and to, you know, to guarantee things will get out. But it's just a real pain. But you know, I'm fortunate enough that I've got plenty of commercial orders, so I'll just sort of double down on them because I like them, because that means, you know, I'll do, you know, a large run. And generally, I hand deliver them as well. So, you know, I'll take a plane, I'll go to the restaurant or wherever and hand deliver them. So, so that sort of negates any issues that way. So, yeah, so it's a huge change the way my business will sort of run. But and until further notice, that's the best I can do. You know, so yeah, huge change for the business. But a busy week.
You got it's
and
like,
a new baby. Hopefully today. By the time you hear this,
it's too much. What you're going through in general is too much. That's too much.
Well, come on. You know, everybody has
COVID,
you know, families,
and the baby,
everybody has
and
families,
the,
and
COVID, yeah. And the babies, and the, you know, this and
moving
that,
at the same time. Okay, maybe it's the perfect storm of doing too much at once. But it's all good. It's all good. We're happy actually. We've had. This week, since coming out of, you know, I was in sort of isolation, I suppose, for 5 days maybe. Everybody, even the kids, everybody's been so happy and positive. It's been a real sort of
that's great
boost around here.
Nice.
It's good. It's nice. So we're all good. We're all good. Mareko, you are back from your travels.
I am.
What's been going on? What's been going on?
Momo's back. A lot of travel, a lot of forging. But it does feel good to be back home. I got a lot of messages from people, cause I was like posting on stories like, "Oh, I'm in the airport at Atlanta and South Carolina and shit like that." I really appreciate everybody reaching out. Unfortunately, what I had going on was very kind of like time sensitive and there wasn't really much room for fucking around. Otherwise I would have loved to have met, some folks who were in some of the areas I was traveling, but it was good. I was in South Carolina, pumping elks, and then I went down to Georgia, and I was training a friend on how to use a power hammer on a Anyang. I don't know if you forged on one of those, Jeff, or maybe
yes.
Craig has too, but they're interesting machines, man. They have some interesting controls because you can like feather the treadle, which is like the clutch basically that engages the hammerhead. And if you just slowly bring it down, it'll just do little tippy taps. But if you jam on the hammerhead or on the treadle, it'll do full strikes and smash the shit out of stuff. And
That's the best part about self-contained hammers.
Well, not all of them do that though. That's the problem.
I've used the Samax and Anyangs and the other one. What was the other one at the Center for Middle Arts? And I love that fact.
Yeah.
None of that, and I use the nasal, but I'm talking about the other. There's another Samac, there's Anyang, and then there's I forgot the name of the other one. No. The newer self-contained air hammers.
Oh, okay.
And that's the best part. The best part is you can feather. You know, you have such an incredible amount of control. But the Anyangs are really, really nice. Really nice.
Yeah, the range of control was very, very interesting because I was forging under a 165, and I was even like very easily able to pull like the heel down on a knife just by doing little taps. But then when I was forging billets, I was able to smash on it, hit really hard. So that was fun to play with that and not only get that experience, but also teach my friend how to use a power hammer and teach some Damascus stuff. Hanging out with Neil too, Neil Kamimura. So we did a bunch of traveling for whatever, the last week and a half. But yeah, been home. It's good to be home. Good to be with the family again. First thing I did was just grab my kiddo and give him a great big squeeze, which was great. And then this week in the shop, I feel like I've been, it's like regular stuff, but I feel like I've been super productive. Did a bunch of heat treating on knives. On my Patreon, I did an interview with Peter Swarsbert, who's like a master of Woots. He's been making Woots steel for like 20 years. This is the first time he's ever had, like, anybody's, like, talked to him about his Woots making, oddly. What else? That was, like, a four-hour chat, too, by the way.
Oh, my
that was,
God.
And the audio got all fucked up, like, right in the middle. So we're going to split it into a couple episodes. It was
you could play some music. In that bit, you could play some of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Killer Bees.
Yeah. That's the name of the podcast, Wu-Tang Clan. That's what you said. Wu-Tang Clan.
And, so got blades. Did a Q&A also for the Patreon. Got a bunch of blades treated. I got a couple knives finished ground and just in the last couple days, and so just feeling super productive, taking a lot of video that I can turn around and put together. I just took a video of like how I do my S grinding, where the camera is just kind of like over my shoulder, like as if somebody was standing with me in the shop watching over my shoulder. So been pretty productive this last week. It feels good. And next week,
cool.
I'm going to be super lazy because it's my kids' midwinter break. And so we got the family lake house. We're going to go up and spend the week there, just kind of lounging around and hanging out and relaxing and chilling together.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, Jeff, just before we came on, we were on camera. I can see you being beat up pretty bad. What's been going on?
Oh, you want to... here, you can... So Mareko can see. You see this thing on my nose?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get punched?
So, well, actually, I did get punched. So the story starts a couple days ago. I got a message from a friend of ours who is involved with this political campaign, a local political campaign. And they wanted me and this other friend of ours to meet with this political person who is going to start a campaign for a higher office in the county. And I was just like, why me? And they said, well, you know, we're trying to look for people like you and, you know, your sphere of influence, blah, blah, blah. So in the beginning, I'm just like, I don't like politicians anyway. And I stay away from local politicians because there's no benefit for me. And also they're all fucking scum. They're just like, you know, they're all awful. So, but in my mind, I'm thinking about you, Mareko, and I'm thinking about Craig, and I'm thinking about the listeners, and I'm thinking, I need something new to talk about on the podcast.
You're thinking you can get out of this ticket if you run for local council. That's all you're thinking.
This is nothing to do with the ticket. I still have to appear in front of the judge on the 4th of March. Don't worry. Separate things. So I think I need new content for Knife Talk. So I should go to this political, and it was we're going to go to a bar. Me and this other guy were in this politician, and we're going to talk about their politics and their candidacy and the campaign and what we can do for them. And I'm thinking to myself, here, I'll do it for the show. I'm going to do it for the show. So we agreed to a time at this bar. And the person showed up half an hour late, which is already a big strike for me. That's just like, you know, terrible. my friend, who's already just happy to be out of the house, is like drinking beer, and I'm having a couple beers, and so we sit down with this person, and you know, she gives us the spiel of her background and her history and the politics, and she goes into politics, and I'm thinking, this reminds me of something, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to be present, and this reminds me of being on the Full Blast podcast, and I'm like, wow, this is really, and next thing you know, I'm just like, this is fucking so boring, and then
just like the Full Blast podcast,
just like the Full Blast podcast, and I think, nice, a good one, and I think to myself, how did I possibly think that this is going to be good for Knife Talk? This is, and I'm listening and I'm nodding and I'm just like looking at the clock. And I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And then my friend is just happy to be out of the house. So he's like asking these inane questions. And I'm looking at him like, dude, we're going to be here forever if you keep asking these questions. And she's looking like, you know, it went fine. And I asked some questions and stuff like that. And at one point, you know, I said, okay, well, you know, and then I try to wrap it up like I wrap up the show. Oh, yay, well, you said a lot, and, you know, thanks for your time. And she goes, oh, I didn't finish my drink. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So we're there for another 45 minutes. It was like, I turned to the bartender, and I'm just like, I went up to get my friend wants a drink, and I'm getting seltzer water. And I turned to the bartender, I'm like, you have got to get me out of here. You got to, whatever, you got to get me out of here. And she was great. She was nice. But at the same time, it was like the whole thing of like, you know, idealism is great, except for you got to deal with these, you know, bureaucrats and all this bullshit. And I'm just like, what do you want from me? And well, maybe you would help. I'm like, oh, as soon as she says, maybe you would help knock on doors. I'm like, yo, you got the wrong. Oh, there's just no way. I mean, you got the wrongest guy. So my friend wanted to keep drinking. And I was like, I got to get out of here. So I got home and I'm irritated. And it was such a waste of time. And not a waste of time. And it was like kind of a waste of time. Whatever. So I'm getting into bed and I take off the sheet. The corner of the sheet, and I get into bed. And I don't know how you guys get into bed, but I grab with my right hand, I grab the duvet and the sheet. And then my whole body kind of like twists, so I can twist to the left.
Are you on the right side or the left side of the bed?
I'm on the left side of the bed.
If you're standing,
so you're closest to the door or closest to further away from the door?
What?
I'm just trying to picture the whole scene.
I'm painting the picture.
What are you wearing?
I get in the bed.
What you wearing?
I grab the fucking sheet with my right hand and I twist my whole body to the left.
Yeah.
And I guess I lost the grip, and I punched myself so hard in the face, I thought I broke my nose. I swear to God, I almost started, I was like, oh my.
Are you sleeping under lead blankets? How heavy are those fucking
things? No, I was, well, my wife tucks the sheets in fucking tight, you know, so I'm like pulling, but my hand slipped and I punched myself so hard in the face that like I had tears running down my eyes. I was like, I woke my kid up. My kid's like, are you okay? And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm like trying to pull it together. I punched myself so hard in the face. I was like, this is the perfect ending to an awful evening. I'm tired. I'm irritated. I got nothing out of it, and I punched myself in the face.
So, what did your wife think you were doing?
She was just like,
you shouted, and she
was just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, Hill, and I got blood coming down on my face, I'm just like, Hill, I just punched myself in the face. And she goes, what? And I try to explain it, and it sounds so ridiculous. And we're trying to all get back to sleep, and I'm just like, and I woke up this morning, and I'm like, my fucking head hurts, and I never thought I mean, it was just like, I could never be a boxer. I could never be. I mean, I fucking cracked myself so hard in the nose. You could see, you saw that mark. It was like terrible. I'm surprised I have a black eye. Jeez, so that was my last 24 hours. Thanks to you guys. This is all your fault. You know, I could have gone to bed at a normal time, and I could have thought maybe, you know, this is fine. And I didn't make an ass of myself.
Thank you for your service, counselor.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like I left with, you know, the last thing I said was lose my phone number. It was like, don't ask me. And they, you know, they were like, maybe you could like get a party together and I could talk to your friends. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. Get me out of here. Politics, folk, forget it, man. I'm not interested. But she's very nice. I wish her all the best of luck. But I mean, it's just like, you know, it's enough already.
Karma came straight back to hit
you
in the nose.
I punched myself in the face like an idiot. Hard. You saw that fucking thing on my nose. I'm surprised I have a black eye. So that's it. There you go.
I think the closest I've ever come to doing that, I had a, I was at a friend's house. I was using the bathroom, and then they were like scratching on the door or something, trying to be like ridiculous. And so I go to surprise the shit out of them, but I got my foot down at the bottom, so I don't open the door too far and hit myself in the face. Well, I apparently leaned forward just a little bit, and I smashed my face with the fucking door. My eye started bleeding. My eyelid right above my right eye started bleeding like crazy. I felt like such a goddamn idiot.
More than punching yourself in the face, tucking yourself into bed. I literally was like this. I'd never done anything like that in my life. So,
yeah, I can't say that.
Welcome
I hit
to
myself.
The club.
Oh, jeez. Jesus. There you go.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
You all need an even heat, and we can get your money off, obviously. If you go to knifetalk.net/heat, that'll take you to Soul Ceramics, where you'll get $75 off and free shipping in the US, and that's just automatically applied to your order. You don't have to do anything else. Okay, shall we do some questions from the public?
Well, before, I just want to let you know what we have, okay?
Yes.
We have some listener feedback, we have some tough scenarios, and last week I called for... thanks to Nice Handmade Knives, had the idea of suggesting to ask the listener, what's the most bizarre custom knife request you've ever gotten? And I thought that it were going to be, it was a throwaway bit. Our listeners have some deranged customers. And we can sprinkle that in whenever you want. So
Okay. Well, let's start with maybe two or three questions and we'll work our way through.
All right.
Do you want to take the first one?
Okay, this one comes from McLeod Atonai. Sorry, my brother. This is from Marcelo. Hey, guys, this is Marcelo from McLeod Atonai Knives. I'm sorry. I have a question for you. When forge welding, besides being clean and well greased, what kinds of surface do you say is better for good welds? Do you want a rough 36 or 60 grit or smooth 240, 320 grit? Or does it not matter at all? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Cheers from Montevideo,
Uruguay.
Thanks, Marcelo. Sorry about your name. I apologize.
Degreased, I think you meant, is what you said.
Oh, clean degreased. I apologize. Degreased. Yeah. So how do you prepare your steel for forge welding Mareko?
I think it's M. Laudato, by the way.
There you go. M. Laudato.
I don't clean any, at least on my initial billet. So when you're stacking up the plates, I don't clean anything. They even have like little burrs from being sheared and stuff. I don't mess with any of that. I don't care about that. But I'm also very comfortable with my process and it works. I completely understand wanting to run them over across a machine to clean off any weird burrs or uneven surfaces or whatever. You don't have to get crazy, though. And if I were to do that with mine, I just hit it with like a used 60 grit belt just to take those burrs off so they laid a lot flatter and tighter to each other. 36 is a little rough. 240 is way overkill. Although you would, after maybe you're making a mosaic Damascus and you're getting to like the last weld or two before you tile, or even at tile, or getting ready to tile your billet, I would clean up the surfaces to probably around 220, 240, because the cleaner and tighter those surfaces mate up, they're going to weld together a lot easier as well. But at the previous rounds of welding, it's not, you're usually crushing down a stack of like 4.5 inches tall by, or at least for me, 4.5 inches tall, 1.5 inches wide, 5 inches long. And you're smashing it down from 4.5 inches down to like 0.5 inch. So it's going through a lot of reduction, but at the very end, you're going through less reduction. Especially if you're doing like an angle tile or something like that, that's only maybe 5/8 of an inch thick. And you're probably reducing it down to maybe 1/4 of an inch or just under 1/4 of an inch to do either stock remove or then forge. And so it's going through less reduction and you want to make sure those surfaces are a lot cleaner. I've heard of people taking the surfaces up to even like 1200 grit, but that's a little much in my opinion.
But you are removing all the mill scale.
Yeah, on successive rounds. Yeah, I'm always so I'm removing the forge scale after rounds of forging. But even on the first round, even on the bar stock that I'm doing my initial billet layup, I don't worry about the mill scale at all.
Oh. Huh.
Never. I never have, and I probably never will.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. Look at you.
Look at me. All right.
Okay.
Should
Jesse Bergen has got the next one. Again, on Instagram, they contacted us via DM at Knife Talk Podcast. And Jesse Bergen says, any good shop vac recommendations? My cheap one just quit on me. Shop vacs. So I assume you just mean like a normal sort of vacuum that you can use just to pull around and, you know, and just pull up dust, as opposed to like a dust collection system. Yeah,
I use my shop vac as a dust collection system.
For everything or just wood?
For just wood. I don't use it for. That's one thing we should just re-bring up is you don't want to use the same dust collection system for steel and wood at the same time. That's how you get like massive fires. So, but I use it. I just get a, you know, at Home Depot. I have a Home Depot shop vac.
Yeah. I've just my shop vac that I just pull around is just like a what we call a Hoover is just a crappy, Henry. You know those little Henry things. I just use one of them. Without any bag in it at all, so we can just empty it out, dump it out quick. But when we were talking about dust collection, you said not to use the same. I've always been like that, but I've just got a new system, which I'm halfway through installing now, where I can use, I don't have to change things out. So I can use it for wood and for steel.
Ooh.
So basically, I have a aluminium like ducting pipe, which is in front of like two grinders and a buffer as well. So there's three sort of U's in there, so they pull up. That goes straight to a not a pump, but like a fan, you know, that'll you know suck everything in. But then rather than go into a bag, this just gets dumped straight outside into the air, just everywhere, and just sort of filters off into the atmosphere. So what that means is I don't have to worry about. If I'm just doing wood, then I'm using metal. There's been no sparks to cause a fire because there's no sort of debris left at all. It literally just vents straight out to the outdoors. So,
you're just shitting it out the
just
window.
Just shitting it out. Exactly. Well, yeah.
You're not worried about like some like fuzzy, you know, like all of a sudden you have like a rusty bush.
I beg your pardon. No. I mean, where it's going, we've got a bit of a sort of a field here that my shop backs onto, and it literally just goes out onto the grass. And you know, the little that I've done, you know, over the last week or so, whilst I've been installing this, you can't see it. You can't even see whether any dust has gone. It's just into the atmosphere. It just goes, blows out. So that's it. Seems to be working quite well.
Nice.
If you're in a neighborhood, you probably don't want to be shitting it out the window, you know?
No, yeah, if you've got neighbors, you probably don't want to be doing that. They've got their washing hanging on the line and they're fucking, rusty, steel filings. You certainly don't want that, no. But if you're in the middle of nowhere, Yeah, basically, that's all it's doing. It's just a big pipe coming through a wall and off it goes. Anyway, they were talking about shop vacs anyway. So what are you using, Maraca?
I'm using a Craftsman from Sears. And Sears, I'm pretty sure, has a pretty good policy with Craftsman equipment. But I would suggest buying one from somewhere that has a good return policy, like from Costco, or even you can buy like the bonus like extended warranty from Lowe's or Home Depot that goes along with it. I know I've used Lowe's in the past with extended warranties, and I've literally just brought a thing back just before the warranty was about up, and I swapped out for a new one. Like, dang. It just covers it. So
nice.
That would be my move.
Or just fuck it out the window. That's why I think that's.
Yeah,
I think
just
that's,
fuck it. Fine. I think that's the best. It's fine.
I think that's the best answer of all time. I'm thinking of like your. Don't you still have sheep? I'm thinking about your like your sheep.
We don't.
Walking.
We don't anymore.
No. Oh, yeah. I thought you like your sheep would get like a but blast these, of this like is, G10.
This is dust. This is literally just going up into the sky. It's just going out into the air. And honestly, you can't see, if you look under the pipe, you can't see where stuff has been flung.
I love G10. We all know I love G10. I don't think anyone loves G10 more than me. I don't think anyone does. If I was fucking G10 out the window, I would have to I'd have cancer patients lined up at the door because you can't, or like I have like a fucking pink and I'd have a pink and blue bushes outside.
Yeah, but I'm 20 foot up in the air as well. Remember, I'm above my shot.
How would I remember that? I've never been here shot. Oh,
yeah, you wouldn't know. Yeah, you wouldn't know. But yeah, so I'm 20 foot up, and this pipe just literally goes out of the. And it, honestly, there's nothing underneath the pipe on the floor. It all just disappears into the air.
The French are going to find out. They're going to be like, oh, he's fucking out the window.
My industrial waste. I don't think it's anything I need to worry about. I think we're fine. I think we can.
Have you not been seeing those articles about microplastics like being found in layers of snow in the Swiss Alps?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
You're contributing to that, Craig. Yeah. I thought you were on this whole sustainability kick.
This is dust. I can't do anything with it. I can't do anything with this at all. It's dust.
You could cast it into make some sort of like shit block.
I'm just not into that, I'm afraid. Not into it. Okay, before I'll do one more question and maybe we'll go into some strange requests that our listeners have had.
Speaking of shit block.
If you could just phone me up and ask for a shit block to be made. Hello, Craig from Chop Knives. How can I help you?
Hi, yes. My name's Jeff, and I'm looking to have a knife made.
Oh, really? Okay. Have you got any ideas for the handle material that maybe you'd like?
What do you have lying around? What do you have lying around? I mean, or do you have
nothing
any?
I just fuck it all out the window. There's nothing hanging around. Just spludge it everywhere.
Do you happen to have any livestock around? Do you?
I don't anymore, I'm afraid. They all died of lung cancer. I'm not sure we should be joking about shit like this, really.
You killed them all. You killed the sheep. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
So let's go with a request. One of the requests that we've received.
Okay. So shout out once more to Knife Nice Handmade Knives, who asked that we do this new bit saying, what's the most bizarre custom request you've been given? You know, what your customers ask you bizarre quests. So it starts off easy, and then it goes downhill from here. Nick Hershey says, I was asked to make a sequoia tree knife a few months ago, and then yesterday someone asked me to make a pine tree-shaped knife. What WTH? That seems perfectly normal. Nick, you're so far so good. Then our boy Kale B sent a message. He says a cheese knife, not too weird, but what he wanted was basically a fancy putty knife that was sharp on the flat end. That's the only thing I've ever made that I was embarrassed to send out. Kale B. Benjamin Mullen says, I was asked to make Damascus lawn darts and to keep it under $100. That's a fucking
lawn darts. What are lawn darts?
Oh, God. You don't know about lawn darts? Lawn darts were something from the 80s, and they're giant darts. Like, you throw darts, you know, playing cricket or whatever. The lawn darts were like maybe 13 inches long. They were like big, they were huge. And what you do is you'd make, I don't know how they figured this one out. You'd make like a ring in the lawn, and then you'd throw it up in the air and try to get it to land in the ring.
Oh,
well,
fuck.
Everyone was getting it.
Sound safe at all.
Everyone's getting it in the face. Like, everyone's just getting hit in the face. I remember as a kid, they were playing lawn darts, and I remember seeing it go through a kid's cheek. They were like the worst idea of all time. It's not, it's like everyone's sitting on different sides and you're just like flinging these darts in the air and people are like getting it in the noodle. So they were, that was one. Okay. So that's Benjamin Mullins. Then we go into Joel Shepard says the weirdest request. A friend asked me how much I would charge to forge a wood stove for them.
Jesus Christ.
And then...
one solid block as well.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, if you want to know who makes wood stoves, Deer River Craftsman, Mark Peacock, used to make wood stoves with his uncle in Canada. Listen to the Full Blast podcast. He tells you all about it. So then all of a sudden I got a message from our good friend at Doghouse Forge. Doghouse Forge said a customer emailed us and asked if we worked with human bone. He referenced our handles with giraffe and wildebeest bones and wanted to know if we'd do something similar with a human bone. That's a hard no.
Fuck it. Is he supplying the bone?
I think Jesus. That they just basically, I mean, his wife Emily sent it in. So she's like, I didn't really go into it, but I mean, she was like, you know. Then Trojan Horse Forge said the strangest request lately I've gotten from a customer is to build a handle out of the ashes of their burned down house. There was no wood left, just charcoal. I guess this one would be a resin cast. So it's just basically what you're doing, Craig, when you're shitting it out the window. just cast it all. Shit block. They basically wanted him to make a shit block. All right. So then we had, and stop me if you ever, you know, if you have any, want to go into it. North Mountain Knives says, I've had two guys ask me to make knives from deceased relatives' surgical bolts / plates or whatever.
Oh,
I declined both times.
Hell. What's wrong with people? Jesus.
Okay, now we're going to get a little bit, now we're starting to get into, all right, so Finite, our friend Leonardo Lee, who is a new father, says, as per the new segment of Strange Requests, I was once asked by a friend of a friend who asked me if I kink shame. I said I never shame people who want to give me money, and it turns out they wanted a knife for something they call knife play, which is when you use the knife to stimulate your other partner during, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, jeez.
I ended up making them a mirror polished knife out of a bronze with bronze and fairly thick, rounded, curved, ribbed handle. So...
Her pleasure. Jesus. Wow.
All right. Now we're getting into it. Are you going to keep going or you want to?
Just after, let's just take a moment just to appreciate what about that last one from Leonardo. Let's listen to a sponsor.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Do it now. You know, I can't get ribbed handle out of my head at the moment.
Well, I'm about to get it right out of your head. Strap yourself in. Colton Hampton says, this is not a request for something weird I took upon myself to make. Not a request, but something weird I took upon myself to make. For Mother's Day last year, I made my wife a cheese knife. She had gotten some breast milk jewelry made in the past, so I pilfered the deep freeze and found frozen breast milk from when both kids were breastfeeding. I dehydrated them in the oven and mixed the powdered milk with epoxy to fill the tubes I used as pins. She thought it was great, but I definitely had some people raise their eyebrow at the concept. Love the show. XO.
Jesus Christ. Take milk in the knife. There's no need.
J-Mode Knives says he added somebody wanted to add mealworms to the resin in somebody's handle scales. We're going to keep going. Stetson Forge says the weirdest request I've ever received was if I could somehow incorporate a customer's dead horse hooves into the handle.
I don't know why that made me laugh. But,
why don't we do a phone call?
A dead horse hooves.
You want to do a hand? Want to do a call?
Sure. Let's do it.
Hello, this is Jeff from Fader Knives.
Hello, Jeff. I understand you make custom knives.
I certainly do. What can I do for you?
Well, it's a bit of a touchy subject. This.
Hmm.
But literally, just within the last hour. My horse died.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
The first thing I thought I should do is maybe chop off a hoof just in case it's needed for something. And I thought, why not a knife? So I thought, maybe you're the man. Could you use my horse's hoof in a knife, please?
Well, how would I incorporate? I don't even know how I would do something like that.
This isn't going anywhere. This
isn't going anywhere. I didn't even know where to go. I thought, man, this is a good one to do a role play. I don't know. Sometimes they win, sometimes we lose. Okay.
Yeah, nay.
Let's. this one is an anonymous knife maker who says, I got a custom request for someone who wanted Damascus sword. Integrating a fleshlight into the hilt.
Oh, wow.
And if you're under 18 and you don't know what I'm talking about, go ask your mom. She knows all about it.
Well, funny enough, I was talking to my wife about a fleshlight this week.
Whoa.
It came up we listened to a podcast in the car and they mentioned a fleshlight and everybody's laughing. She was like, well, what's so funny about that? I said, well, do you know what a fleshlight is? And she was like, well, it's like a fleshlight, surely. So I had to Google a fleshlight and show her what this thing was. And I know what I've got for Christmas next year.
I thought you were only in quarantine for like 5 days. Jesus Christ, Craig. You're like panic mode. Diego Le Pen says, not a knife, but I'm a leather worker. Bricklayer asked me to make a tool belt with pouches, kind of like Batman's. But it had to be made so it could also double up as a BDSM harness. I don't know what's worse, the idea of him using all the dirty work or with his wife or using it at work. So.
Wow. People are weird.
I can't get more. Tell me what you want to do. You want
to
come back?
We'll sprinkle some back in later. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Where are we? Lewis Matthias. Hey, guys. Here's a question. As a part-time bladesmith and with orders until the end of the year, it's been difficult to find time to prepare pieces to display at the annual knife fair in my country. How do you usually manage the calendar to reconcile orders with the pieces to take to exhibitions? Any tips? Thanks in advance. And if you save me a bottle of Portuguese red wine, it's promised for each of you.
Nice.
Obrigado. Keep up the good work. Okay, Lewis Matthias. So he's got a show coming up, but he's struggling to get his orders out. I suppose, Mareko, this is probably more maybe for you, because I know you exhibit at, you know, Blade Show, and that, or you have done in the past.
Yeah, I have in the past.
How do you manage that? I mean,
you got to kind of carve out the time, honestly. Probably the first couple shows, I was trying to balance doing both, and that just was not working. And it sounds like he's having that same issue. And I realized when a show is coming up, I need to stop and take time to focus on the work that I'm going to be taking that show. Because last thing you want to do is show up with work that isn't complete, or or you only got one knife instead of maybe six or seven knives that you're trying to get on the table. Yeah, that would be, it's just time management and figuring out, you know, how much time you need to build with what you want to take, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you may be able to speak to your customers and say, you know, if you've got some that have literally just been finished and they're ready to ship, you may say to them, you know, would you mind if I held on to an extra week so I could just sort of exhibit them at this knife fair, which they may be happy for you to do. But it's a good problem to have, isn't it? You know, the fact that, you know, you've got so many orders, you can't keep any back for knife shows.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, that's why they do knife shows, to sell more. It seems if you don't really have that problem. So, yeah, it's a good problem to have.
And that's actually a good point. I've done that in the past, where I've held on to a customer's knife and taken it with me to a show. And it's great, because when people are like, oh, I really like that knife, and they're like, oh, sorry, that one's already taken. Like, for all they know, it was somebody else at the show, and that they're, because a common thing is for whoever that customer is that purchased it at the show will let you continue to display it throughout the rest of the show, so that you have something on your table.
Yeah. Hmm. I suppose it depends what your... why you're wanting to exhibit and why you're wanting to show.
Right.
If it's purely to get more orders, you're already there. You know, why take the time out of you know, when you're making money, why take the time out to do that? But if it is the case, you know, to show your peers and that kind of thing and mix with others, great. But yeah, maybe try that. Speak to your customers, say, look, would you mind if I just held on a bit? What do you think, Jeff? Anything on that?
There's nothing better than being organized. We've organized ourselves now that we have a very tight list in regards to what I can do and how much time I have. And then that allows me to let the customers know when to expect the knife. And then there's and then I'm on and I keep on track. And then there's more data in regards to how many knives I can make in a certain amount of time. And then that kind of, you know, gives us an idea of, you know, deadlines and stuff like that. But we had a meeting this morning and we were kind of going over the list, and I'm ahead by like 2 weeks, which is nice because I'm going to need it. And, you know, it allows me to kind of understand what's going to happen in the future. And then there's never any like freaking out, and I'm never in a position where you don't feel overwhelmed, you know, because, you know, you also let your customers know when they expect to get it. We're constantly updating our, you know, the sending dates and when things to be, when no one's surprised, they have an understanding. And then I'm keeping up with my list and my organization, and then I'm not feeling overwhelmed. So
I know you're sort of managed a bit as well, aren't you? They give you a list of what you're doing this week.
Well,
but do you get to see like the longer tail of things? So Lisa, there's no chance of you getting overwhelmed. Do they do that on purpose, your team with you there?
No,
do they
just say, I've like, stopped
this
being
week
overwhelmed.
You're making these knives.
I've right, stopped okay. being overwhelmed because it's just like, you know, you're only overwhelmed if you overextend your commitments. Like if you've committed to too many things, then that's different from saying, all right, this is the pace I'm at. This is the pace that works. Everyone's cool with it. No one's screaming at me, where's my knives? And, you know, I feel good. I feel like I'm in a, you know, a very good state. Now, in regards to me being managed, I look down the pipe and sometimes there'll be two different knives that are similar enough that I should just like bump them, you know, bump one in just to kind of get it out the door, you know, because it makes it a little easier for me. But no, I think the most important thing is to be as organized as possible, and also, you know, everyone's clear. You know, there's no we're very transparent in regards to when things go out, and you know, if people get excited, but I mean, I don't. Yeah. I also don't commit to like I wouldn't commit to like. Here's the thing: is like for Makers Camp, next year I might try to have some friction folders and some forge shit, but I just don't budget my time in to do that. You know, and that becomes the problem. But when you budget your time and organize, it's the best, and you'll feel bad.
There we go, Lewis. Jonathan Griffiths. Hey, when texturing a stock removal knife, wouldn't that cause minor gaps around the scales as the stock isn't flat anymore? He says he can't wrap my head around the scale fit up at all. I completely see what you mean there, Jonathan. And I'm not a big fan of you know, stock removal knives that have been textured, really. You know, especially, you know, some people putting hammer marks and that kind of stuff into it, you know, to make it look as if it's almost been forged. I'm not the biggest fan of that. But yeah, I completely see, I always think that. When I see a textured blade, I always think that fitter probably isn't the best around, you know, where the scales are joining, that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm completely with you. But you know, that's a style thing. My case, I like things to be sort of clean looking. You know, some people do it really nice, but yeah, when people go really crazy with texturing, I find it very strange.
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 You find it strange.
I find it strange. I don't know. It doesn't seem sort of pure to me to add in stuff that's not really required, you know.
Right.
It's stylistic thing for me, maybe. So you guys, what do you think?
What do you think, Brecco?
I think that often, maybe, well, so it sounds like the issue is if you're doing a full tang knife. Often I feel like what I see this texture work being done on are actually hidden tang. So you don't have to worry about the handle fit up. You just have the bottom shoulders of the blade where it transitions to the tang to go into the handle.
I think Jonathan's in the full tang clan.
Full tang clan.
He's talking right. Full tang.
Full tang clan.
Okay. So then I would just then try to be careful not to texture where the tang's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's about all you can do. If you do get a little texture in there, then maybe you make sure there's a little extra glue. But other than that, there's not much else you can really do. Just try to be careful not to texture in that area.
And that's it. I mean, I made a knife for Allison, and I wanted to throw some texture on it just to kind of see how it looks. A lot with stainless steel, I've been fooling around with adding texture to stainless steel, and then putting stainless steel into the ferric chloride and, you know, getting, you know, hitting it with the wire brush and all sorts of different kind of techniques. And I just kind of mark out where the scales are going to go. And then I stay the fuck away from it. And I don't, I haven't had any problems with the glue, the texture. I mean, obviously if I'm staying away from it, there's not going to be any weird scale issues, but yeah, Mareko's right. If you're doing a full tang knife, there's no reason to texture the tang unless you, you know, banana the tailpipe, texture the whole bar before you, before you, you know, cut it all out.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Ah, where are we?
I got one that actually, we kind of skipped over.
Cool. Go for Mareko.
This is from, I think it's Canon Knife and Tool. He says, hey guys, I've been having a problem with my ferric etch lately. My blades are coming out kind of chalky and gray instead of black like they used to. Any idea on what is going on? I've been using the same steel this whole time, and ferric, and the ferric is only 3 months old. So, after 3 months, it shouldn't be doing anything weird. The only thing I can think of is that if you are not rinsing the baking soda water solution or whatever you're using to neutralize, so you pull the knife out of the acid and then you usually neutralize it with something. If you're not rinsing that off before you go back into the ferric, you're reintroducing that neutralizing agent into your acid, and that's going to start messing with it. And so that is the only thing I can imagine is happening there. So I hope that helps.
There you go.
There we go.
Nothing to
add. I mean, what you could use is something like Dharma steel, which is the best stainless steel. If you're looking for, you know, a patterned stainless steel. And we can get you a discount. Of course we can. If you go to dharmasteel.se, when you sign up and place your order, if you use Knife Talk, you'll get 10% off. And also go follow them on Instagram because you get lots of inspiration there. People using Dharma steel for all sorts of really, really cool stuff. Some jewelry this week I've seen as well. Look really, really cool. So yeah,
and duds, yeah, Dharma, they get clothes too, shirts and
clothes,
pants.
Really?
Yeah, they just have, they got a whole line of fashion. Damn. You get some Dharma steel pants and some Dharma steel shirts and hats and stuff. Get yourself looking like a real Dharma steel person.
There we go. Get layered up. Oh, that's a strap line for them, isn't it? Get layered up with our friends.
Look at you. All of a sudden, you're like, you're like
Dharma Steel Lab on Instagram. There we go.
Look at you get layered up. Oh, God.
They can have that. If we start seeing that this week now on Instagram, I need a cut.
Pear, he's going to squeeze you again, Pear.
Let's call Pear up live on the show now. And we
you know, do the elevator pitch for him. Listen, between horse hoof knives and stuff like that, let's just talk about.
Right. Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I have a tough scenario from our friend Tom Moss, who just was recently retired from the Coast Guard. Congratulations to Tom. Tom says, if you could take a year off from your responsibilities / employment, bills are covered, money's in the bank, debt-free, spouse's blessing, and no orders to fill, what would you do to improve yourself and your craft? There you go, guys.
Mm. Wow.
What would you do?
Ooh. That's a very good question.
Improve yourself.
And this is specifically to improve ourselves and our craft.
Or whatever. I mean, you guys get a little bit too, like, you know, nickel and dimey with some of these questions. Yeah, answer the whatever you want.
Okay. I'd have to take my wife and kids with me. It wouldn't be a case of me just taking off for a year because it'd be horrible. It'd be horrible without them. So I'd love to come to the States and come and visit a few makers, that kind of thing. You know, part holiday, you know, and just pop in and see a few people. I've got a few friends that, you know, from school days, that kind of thing, there in the States as well. So, yeah, I'd love to do that, actually. So, yeah, if it was a year out, And you know if you've got a year, it's not a holiday, is it? You know, you sort of settle into life a bit more, didn't you? You know, you're on holiday, you know, that first sort of 2 or 3 days, you're like, what the fuck's going on? Then, but, you know, once you get comfortable, then you're like, oh, no, I'm going home soon. But, you know, if you've got a year, you've got time to sort of live the life a little more. So, I think I would go to the States, actually, and, you know, visit a few people and, you know, take in the sights.
Who would you visit?
I wouldn't fucking visit you.
That's the right answer. You're not welcome, you flea bag.
I think that would be cool. What would you do, Mareko?
I would have to take the family as well, and we would go to Italy.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. Eat our way around.
Learn how to make some pizza.
Yeah, wait a second. Wait a second. Teach those motherfuckers a thing or two.
Hey!
Alfredo will be listening. And
no,
shut a fatso.
No, yeah, I'd probably try. We'd try to, you know, visit some makers and people we know. My wife has friends that live there. She absolutely adores Italy. I've never been to Europe actually, or anywhere else. I've been to like Canada, parts of Canada. The U.S. and South Korea. That's the extent of my travel. My wife has traveled around the entire world. She's been to every continent except for Antarctica, and she loves Italy. So she's been putting up with my shit for a long fucking time, and so a year in Italy would be pretty amazing, I think.
Wow, look at you, giving back.
Nice. Jeff, what you do? You got a whole year.
It'll have to be a two-pronger for me because I would have to... See, I would want to do just straight blacksmithing, no knife making. Like, I really want to get into hammer making more. Actually, this weekend, I'm so excited. This Sunday, I'm forging two hammers. I can't wait. I would love to get into just back in the day when I was doing stuff with Uri Hoffi and Fred Christ. I want to do traditional blacksmithing techniques and stuff like that. That's number one. Number two is I need some intensive painting techniques. I need some intensive painting classes. Like, I want to go to like an atelier. I really want to like understand painting and understand painting, drawing two-dimensionally. And I really need to take some painting classes. Bad.
What is atelier?
Like a painting school. Like a real French. My dad spent a lot of time in Paris after World War II. And he learned how to paint in France, and he became
That's what I was thinking. Atelier, you see, that just means maker over here. So everybody's not atelier.
Atelier.
Yeah. So it's like specific sort of like centers you can go to.
I don't know, but I mean, I just remember him telling me, you know, the stories of learning how to paint in France, and you know, he would, you know, I would like to have an intensive painting life. I would love that. Hmm. I picture my old age. I picture it with like this big. I can tell you what my shop looks like already. It's this giant white room, and there's a big table like the way I have my tables in my shop. And I want giant canvases. Like I want like 12 of them, and I want like light coming in from the ceiling. And I totally white floors and white walls with paint all over the place. And then the table's covered.
What's happened with all your blacksmithing dust? Is that just being?
This is a different space.
Fucked out the window.
Different
like mine,
fucking, yeah, fucked out the window. It's all fucked out the window. But I totally know exactly the kind of painting, and I want the space. I want the walls to be very high because the thing about painting and sculpture and art is people don't realize how important curation is. And I want the room to be the size of a gallery, and I want the wall. I want to be able to walk and look from a distance. And I picture this very,
That's
very.
Interesting.
Oh yeah,
I've
dude.
Never
I
thought of that
this
concept
all the time.
To paint in the same kind of space in which the work is going to be displayed.
Well, when you're painting, the stupidest part about drawing and painting is if you're drawing and you're painting, a lot of times you're tight to it, but you don't let it breathe. And a lot of times people don't realize how important curation is to the painting. Like you could have this incredible painting, but if it's hung shitty or hung in a lousy area. You can't understand it. So, like, being able to walk back. In my first shop in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, I had this huge wall. And I could, like, paint something, and then I could walk back, like, almost, like, 15 feet and 20 feet. And then I could, like, really kind of get a better sense of it. So, like, I think about this stuff all the time. So, there you go, Tom.
There you go. Nice. Nice. Okay, let's go. Let's do another question. Maybe we can come back to any more dilemmas. Do we have?
We have some dilemmas. We have feedback. Okay. We still have some bizarre custom requests. It get okay, worse.
Let's do another question in between these. Then this is from Cass K A S on Instagram. Hey cuties, what is your belt of choice? So far, I've been using standard red ceramics for pre-grinding and green alumina. Alumina. You Americans, you fucking weird.
What do you mean weird? That's almost aluminum.
Alumina. Yeah, okay.
Almost aluminum.
Aluminium.
The pronunciation police is...
After heat treat. Especially the alumina belts wear fast and perform not very well. Thinking about Cubitron for profiling and pre-grinding and blue zirconia after heat treat. Is that smart? Cost is not my biggest concern. Quality and ease of use are. Okay, Cass, nice question. That's a really good point, actually, at the end, that cost is not my biggest concern. Quality and ease of use are. I think, you know, a lot of people look at sort of belts as being expensive, but when you think of your finished product, I think cost shouldn't be your main concern, because if you've got a well-performing belt that gives you good quality, it's sort of, you know, cost is irrelevant. You know, it's like material costs.
I gotta stop you for a second. Are you sure. Do you move around when you talk in front of the mic?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, can hear it. Somebody sent me a message saying last episode you're like, you're going like this, you're in and out.
You know what? I can tell you exactly what it is.
Good, because somebody gave me fritz about it. Go ahead.
Oh, fuck. I'm in a spinny chair, and I'm spinning around. Whereas I never used to.
Stop
now
fucking spinning around the chair.
Like in a circle or side to side?
Yeah, because you sound like this. So when I was going down the aluminum, the horse hooves and fucking out the window.
Okay, that's okay. Next week, I shall go back to my static chair. Okay, that's what it is. I'm in a spinny chair, so I'm probably, without even thinking
right,
about
see?
It, I'm probably moving off axis.
Problem solved.
There we go. Belts. What is your belt of choice? Miracle.
I fucking hate blue zirconia. They're the worst.
Oh, those are bad. With the yellow stripe and with the yellow backing? The yellow color behind?
I've seen them with all kinds of different backings, but the zirconia, I feel like they cut great for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And then because it's such a hard abrasive that it doesn't actually break down very nicely. And what I love about the combat belts that we use is that what's called the friability, the abrasive breaking down, it actually breaks down easily over use of the belt so that you're still getting fresh stuff. I just blasted through the finish grinding on a knife today in about 45 minutes. And it was with the ceramics, started at 36, then 60, 120, and then I finished on a 220 alumina oxide, but at that point I'm not going blazing fast. I'm not removing a ton of material, so it doesn't have to be ceramic. Though they do have a ceramic blend, alumina oxide and ceramic blended 220 belt. I don't know. When it comes to, so he said something about, what is it, using a Cubitron to profile and the pre-grinding. So before you pre-grinding before heat treat, right? So to profile, I just use a worn out belt. You don't need a super sharp belt to profile. In fact, it's really hard on the abrasive to be profiling. Your likelihood of just shearing the abrasive off is really high. So
you will just get sprayed as
get covered in abrasive. Also, as I understand, Cubitrons are pretty expensive belts. They're like almost $20, which he mentioned at the end, cost doesn't matter, but that seems like a fucking waste. And so, I use a 36 and a 60 if I'm going to do any primary grinding before I heat treat combat ceramic belts. And then afterwards, I go back to those exact same belts. And I do most of my grinding with 36. And then I follow with 60, 120, 220, and 400 sometimes. But it's a pretty simple progression.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. Yeah, old used belts for any sort of profiling, that kind of stuff. And then, greens up to, then blues to maybe 600, 800. And then on to hand sanding. And I'm sure we'll use the same stuff for hand sanding. It's the best stuff. It's Rhino-Wet by Indasa. By far the best stuff. When you get to your hand sanding, you want to be using this stuff. And we can get it cheap for you, obviously, if you go to texasfarriersupply.com and you use KnifeTalk10, you'll get 10% off your order. So not just your Rhino Wet, but other stuff as well. So go take a look at texasfarriersupply.com. And if you're in Canada and you want to get belts, you can go to maritimeknifesupply.com. And you can get money off there as well. So if you buy a 10-pack, you'll get 10% off. So yeah, if you want shipping in Canada, the place to go is maritimeknifesupply.com, and they do all sorts of stuff. Steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, they do the lot. Go take a look. maritimeknifesupply.com.
And coffee. Get yourself some
and even coffee.
Rise
even
and coffee.
So you can sit there in your Dharma Steel clothing, drinking your Maritime Knife Supply coffee. Loving life.
Probably warm your Maritime coffee in the Even Heat kiln.
You probably could. You probably could, yeah. Know. Which you've had, you know, from Soul Ceramics with your discount there as well.
Yep.
Oh, nice. Where were we? Jeff, belts.
I do the same thing. I use the shredder belts, and then I grab whatever the, after 120, I grab the cheapest, you know, whatever the ones that are $2 a piece. And I do so much with the disc grinder. Like, I don't really fool around too much with, for grinding knives, 36, 80, 120, and then I go, those are all ceramics, and then I'm going to the disc grinder. So I don't really futz too much with anything else. But then I use all the different, you know, more inexpensive 220, 400, 800 belts for the wood and the sharpening and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's have another dilemma then, maybe.
You know, dilemmas or bizarre, you bizarreness?
Let's do a dilemma, then we can do a bunch of bizarre requests.
Okay, this one comes from, let me see what we're going to do here. Okay, this is a good one. This is from Zach Asbill. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Hey guys, I'm catching up with the newer podcast, but I still have a dilemma. I work with a collective of makers under one name, and recently a student from a class who is another local guy has started making one of our models of knives and just named it different. Where do we draw the line between inspiration and straight jacking or biting style? Obviously, nothing in the knife game is new, just variations of older things done with a modern twist. P.S. Mareko is a legend, and I appreciate all of you for doing this, especially Craig in the normal American mis-enunciation. Didn't thank me. Thank you, too. Thank everybody but me. Fine. It's fine. Zach, it's fine. I'm with you. Don't worry.
So somebody who he's working with in this collective is making one of our knives today.
I think he said a student.
A student is kind of making their knives under different names.
Oh, right. Okay.
They're just stealing. They're just kind of stealing. Let's just say they haven't developed their own voice. They haven't developed their own voice. That's right. Look nice. At you. Perfect. Perfect. That's why you're the head of the Wu-Tang Clan. They haven't developed their own voice.
That's nice. I suppose it comes down to intention, doesn't it? I suppose if they're intentionally they've decided, right, I'm going to take this design and I'm just going to rip it right off. That's clearly not right. But if you know, we're all influenced by. We talk about this every week. We're all influenced by everything that we see, and there's only so many ways you could make something short, sharp, and pointy. So there's always going to be crossover with, you know, with other people's work. But yeah, it's down to intention. That's what I believe. And you know, if you know this person well enough, you know what their intention is. And maybe if you know they're ripping somebody off, maybe you say to them, "Is this quite right?" Particularly if they're a student, you know, you could maybe, you know, help them shape their own voice. Yeah.
I'm surprised that you say that every time you say that. Now that I know that you're such a musician, because does that mean that there's no more songs to be written? Silence stumped him.
No. Of course there. Of course there.
Yeah.
Of
so course. There. I mean, we say that there's.
But
know,
again, that's down to intention. You could easily go and rip off somebody else's song, or you know, I'm sure any songs that I right, you know, a massively influenced by songs that I've heard. You know, you absorb all this
but
stuff.
Then you get people like, I mean, think about like when Nirvana came out, or when you think about like these bands that like really came up with something new. Or I remember when I was a kid and Guns N' Roses came out, it was revolutionary. Guns N' Roses came out and were like, this is definitely not Van Halen. You know, it's like there are people who like have these like epiphanies, and then you realize that there isn't, you know, there is more than you just like ripping people off.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. everything that we sort of, our senses take in, whether it's smell, sight, taste, whatever it is, that's always informing us and giving us, that will show us what we like. You know, or we'll then form our own opinion. Oh, we like this, we like this. So when we then go to create something, whatever it may be, it could be a drawing, it could be a piece of music, it could be a knife, whatever it is. You're going to sort of draw on what you like. You know, I hate, you could say I hate, you know, 50s jazz. So if I sit down to write a song, I'm not going to write a 50s jazz song. I'm going to write a song which is of a style that I like. And I think any sort of creative endeavor, I think that's always going to be the same. You're always going to do what you're drawn to yourself.
And if your teacher is a 50s jazz teacher and he teaches you 50s jazz, you're going to ultimately start by learning 50s jazz.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Mareko?
I think they should have a non-compete clause in their liability form that they have students, you know, sign.
But how would you even... class. But then all of a sudden it's speculation. And then it's like, do you remember, I don't know if you guys remember when, you guys are probably, you were both of age when Vanilla Ice did Ice Baby. And then everyone was saying you just stole Under Pressure from Prince and, or from Queen. And he goes, no, it was dun, 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 dun. Mine is dun, 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 dun. You know, just like, I don't know if you ever saw that clip. That could have been the dumbest clip of all time. Vanilla Ice is trying to play, trying to explain why his riff is different than Queen's riff. And it's just like, come on, man. I don't know. I just don't know how you'd be able to do. I don't know how you'd be able to copyright a design, or I don't know how you'd be able to create something that prevents people, because there's that idea of speculation. You know, there's so much that's like speculation. There's so much that's like interpretive, and you know, you can, you know, silver tongue your way around almost anything.
Right.
Well, and how far does that go? He's like, well, it's got a 5-inch handle. It's got a pointy end. Well, that's the same as mine. You know, it's you know, how far do you go?
Sure. Well, and I think, like you guys were saying before, intention does play a role. But I think if it, you know, maybe they can just talk to this guy. But if he wants to be a dick about it, then, you know, you obviously never give him a class again. Or maybe you, I don't know. Maybe you just chalk it up to, you know, as a learning experience and make sure that you try to do things different in the future. But hopefully this person is just, you know, this is a stepping stone. They took a class, this is a stepping stone, and they'll eventually develop their own style, their own voice, and move on. But
hey, you listen to the show, so next time they're in the shop, just play this episode.
Yeah. Have it queued up and ready.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need you to come back by the shop. I got something on the list.
It's hard, man. I tell you what, it is annoying. I fall back to the idea of if this is the if I have to hang my hat on this one thing, then like it's my own fault. But at the same time, and that's just from the creative mindset of, am I just washed up if it wasn't for this one thing, or can I come up with something better? But at the same time, it's just like you put all this time and energy into something and then you're just getting slammed. It's just, it is a drag. Like, I have definitely been happy to not do some of my old designs, because it's just like they started to just get nabbed. And it was just like, it is demoralizing. And, you know, and now I have the greatest of all time. Allison gets so mad when she looks at other people's work and she sends me messages. Is this guy copying you? Is this guy copying you? I'm like, relax, Allison. No one's copying you. Don't worry. But she's ready to like pounce. Allison's ready to pounce. Yeah. Very, very loyal. Yeah.
Not much you can do. I think that's the problem.
Well, you can't. There's a lot you can do. You can be pissed. You could probably also like kneecap them. Back in the day, I'm sure a lot of people do that. And, you know, it sucks. But you just have to, like, I don't know what you do, to be honest with you. Grin and bear it.
Yeah. Let's do some strange requests then that we've had.
Okay, yes. What's the most bizarre custom request you've gotten? This one comes from J.D. Eiler. I had a guy who wanted his knife to sever the umbilical cord of his soon-to-be son. That way, when the kid got older, he could have the knife. Needless to say, I didn't make the knife. I don't know that.
That's no good.
Matt Vogt says, I had a customer here in Kansas that's a coyote and raccoon hunter. He asked me if I would be able to inlay a raccoon dick bone into the handle. He would inlay a raccoon dick bone into the handle of the knife. I told him I would have to think about it. And yes, raccoon dicks have a bone in them.
That's what I was thinking. Is there a bone in a penis? Surely not. Yes, some anyway, mammals, maybe for a raccoon.
Depends on who you're talking to. Oh! Evan Watson is the hand engraver, one of the best engravers in the United States. Awesome engraver.
Oh, yeah. I just saw his work recently.
He's a badass. He's nuts. And he had a weird custom request. Weirdest custom request, engraved butt plug. I thought I was being trolled. So I put a crazy price on it and told them we need to really make sure it's deburred. In case you're curious, the job never materialized. Thank God.
Oh, jeez.
And then Corvus Survival. Corvus Survival says, greeting, guys. I enjoy listening to the show while working in the shop. The weirdest request I've received was to put the ashes of a guy's dead father into a knife. After a few questions, I told him I would. He sent me a small vial of ash that I had planned to seal in the skeletonized area of the handle. I videoed the whole thing to send it to him when I poured out the ash. The majority of the, quote, ash was a tooth that fell out, spilling the ash everywhere.
Oh,
needless to say, I didn't send the video to the customer, but I did return the tooth to the in the vial with the knife.
I bet it wasn't even their tooth, see?
Yeah, tooth. Neil Warren says, it's not a very good one. I was asked to make an adult pleasure item, specifically a butt plug, shaped handle.
It's a butt plug.
I had to pass on that. Yeah, a lot of butt plugs.
Sounds like there's Ronald a business Knives. Opportunity for somebody out there.
I mean, yeah. I just, you know, look, I mean, you know, I don't know, man.
It's all sorts.
Raccoon dick bones and butt plugs. You can't make it up. Ronald Knives, I had a potential customer ask for a hatchet that could, quote, cut through bone with a human femur. And a quick draw sheath that would be small enough to fit under the seat of a truck that he specifically wanted to have, quote, no markings on the blade or handle at all.
Oh, my God.
So it would be impossible to trace. Oh, I said,
oh
no.
My God.
I said, nope, and stopped replying to his messages.
Oh, God. Wow. We'd have Dr. Chris on again in 6 years' time looking for the maker of this.
The titty doctor.
Oh, jeez, no way.
Grateful Knife says, I've been asked to make a coffin for my neighbor who passed away. I don't know why I'm laughing about that. Ricardo Carrasco says he was asked to make Aquaman's trident. Didn't happen. I didn't, sadly, though. Okay, get ready. I'm going to have to do this in a... Okay. CJ Miller. This one's a good one. So my weirdest custom request is a doozy. Not 100% knife-related. Being in the Army, we had our fair share of weirdos. I was at work one day showing my most recent chef knife to some buddy, and a guy from another shop comes in and asks if we could make something special for him. He tells me that this past weekend he went to a strip club where they were having a special guest, a famous adult star, and if you know, you know. He had apparently acquired a thong from her at this club where she was stripping. He was wondering if he'd be able to take the thong of hers, and he pulled it out of his pocket and turned it into a medallion with some clear epoxy that he could wear as a necklace. I simply replied no and then slowly walked away.
Is this a grown man?
Jesus. Yeah. He had the thong of Alexis, Texas. I don't know who that is. Or do I? Okay, the last one is from Rumble Jackson. Jackson Rumble. He was asked to make a mosaic Damascus cockfighting blade to strap onto a rooster.
I'm glad you come up with that last line there. The strap onto a rooster. Is that what he calls it?
You know what that
cock-a-doodle-doo.
Well, do you know what that is? I mean, that's what for the bird fighting, the cockfighting, they put like razor blades on their like hooves or whatever the fuck they have, their claws
on their hooves.
A cock hoof.
So there you have it. Guys, you really impressed me with you guys really impressed me. Very impressive. Yeah. So we're going to have to. It
just shows how weird people are out there in the big wide world.
You know
world.
What? We'll go 2 weeks. Guys listening to this, we'll do it again. We'll do it again next week. We did the last 2 weeks. We'll do it again. So if you have any weird requests, I mean, my weird request is a guy wanted me to make a knife where the tip was a screwdriver. And I was like, that's weird. Oh, yeah. But Jesus. It ain't no raccoon dick. I can tell you that.
I mean, talking about custom things being made, I had brought back doing a lot of custom work at the moment with platens and all that kind of stuff. Mareko, why don't you tell us about the Mareko's deep
platen. The deep platen. Well, the platen is a design that I originally built for my original grinder that I built myself. And so the concept is to have tons of clearance and all kinds of freedom around both sides of the platen, usually where it attaches to the machine. You know, on the left side, typically there's, you know, the tool arm, the machine, all kinds of stuff gets in the way. And for me, I need more clearance for handle sculpting and all that business. And I want to do it symmetrically. So I don't have to do it all just on the right side. And so that is what was one of the main drivers for collaborating with Broadbeck to create the Mareko Deep Platen. And it's been killing it. I get tons of messages of people saying, you know, great design, great collab, you guys, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I'm glad people are getting a lot of use out of it. Even the great Mr. Nick Angers, he got a hold of one because that is something that he apparently has been wanting for a long time. And so, you know, if you go to broadbeckironworks.com, right, guys? And you type in Knife Talk at checkout, you can get a free upgrade to the Mareko Deep Platen from the standard long platen, along with your machine. And, you know, they got really awesome machines. They're grinders for knife makers, built by and designed by knife makers. And, you know, they're really like a 7-in-1 Swiss Army knife of the shop. So go to Broadback Ironworks, get yourself a badass grinder, and get yourself to work.
Nice. Okay. Do we have anything else before we... Anything we need to clear up before we go?
We have questions. We can save our questions. We have some more tough scenarios. We have some listener feedback.
Listener feedback. We haven't done any of that.
Okay.
So I know my spinny chair is in the feedback this week.
Well,
stop spinning.
There you go. Maverick Knifework says, hey guys, some listener feedback from you. Those mold polishing stones and soft guitar fret sanding blocks are a game changer. I appreciate all the information you've shared over the years. Mareko, could you repeat what the whole fret sanding blocks are?
Yeah, so they are a rubberized abrasive. So they come in like, and there's a few different styles that you can find online, but they're anywhere from 220, or even I think I've seen as low as like 180, all the way up to like 10,000 grit, which is overkill. I don't think that's really necessary. But I've been using them as I prepare my material, my blades, for the coffee etch. So I'll go into the ferric to clean up or to do a quick etch. I'll usually do like a 10-second etch just to look at the blade and make sure that the ferric is getting a good clean bite all over the blade. And then for my chef's knives, at least, I won't etch any deeper, especially if everything's looking good. I won't etch any deeper, and I'll clean that all off using the rubberized abrasive. And you can cut it down, you can carve it to shape, to fit inside any kind of like fullers or really tight spaces and stuff like that around your blade. You clean it all up nice and evenly, and then I've been going straight into the coffee, well, after rinsing, and then into the coffee after that, and I've been getting really great results. And there in general, like I did a Hormone this last, when I was at Sornex at the Winter Strong event, and I did a, what is it? It was 1095 and I did a par quench. And so I only quenched for maybe 5 or 6 seconds and I got a sweet Hormone actually out of the material. And so I did some etching with some acid. And I used that rubberized abrasive to kind of clean it up, and it really made that Hormone pop really nicely. So they're really cool, and it's amazing. Like I was using a 220 grit block, but it doesn't scratch like 220. It scratches like 800, which is really nice.
So where do you get them?
So you can go find them online. I have my own Amazon store that you can find them on. It just makes it easier to kind of locate them and figure out which ones work best. And I think it's just amazon.com/Marek or Malmasi, I think. Malmasi Firearms, I can't remember. I have a link in my Instagram bio that goes to the thing. But you can find them on Amazon. You can find them all over the place. And you want to look for fret erasers.
There you go.
Would they work with raccoon boners?
Yeah, they bring up a really nice high polish. Nice. Lots of friction.
Boners. How dare you? Perfectly good ending.
Have you guys heard of Usyk? No. Usyk is another bone from another mammal that is a penis bone. It is a walrus dick bone.
Oh.
Usyk. Jeez. And it's large enough you can use
it's come to this.
You can, it's
come
it's large to enough this. You can use it as handle as a full handle. It's massive.
Oh wow. That's what she said.
It's kind of like Ligma.
I think that's like what, sorry?
Ligma?
What's
Ligma balls? There we go.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
that reminds me of
God, Molly, yeah. One of my girls. obsessed with Moana, the film,
right.
And the Rock in it says he says something about it. He says, "Oh, that's Nunya," and somebody says, "What's Nunya?" He goes, "Nunya business." So she walks around the house now saying this all the time.
Yeah,
Nunya, and I say, "Oh, what's Nunya?" She look at me and go, "Nunya business."
Yeah, Tony used to say Nunya a lot.
So I'll teach you now.
Oh yeah, Ligma.
Oh my Ligma. God,
D's, dude, gotta do D's. There's nothing funnier than that. That shit is so it's so asinine. It's so juvenile. I'm fucking 48 and I'm fucking doing Ligma jokes. It's just like ridiculous. Totally ridiculous.
Escapism at its best.
Ugh, who doesn't love that? So what do you guys got on the books for the weekend?
We're just working on the house. We're very, very close to being finished now, really. Yeah, just cracking on. I can finally have a bath tomorrow for the first time in, we worked out, 6 years. I've obviously had baths, you know, when I'm in family members' houses. I cannot wait. I'm going to get it all set up.
Craig soup.
Dude, that's exactly right. Do you just like swill around in there? Or you just like slap around?
I'm clean.
What, are you
I'm
take clean. A shower before you take a fucking bath?
Stinking dirty. No, but I'm pretty clean. God. I'm pretty clean. Trust
ball.
Me. Trust me.
Balls just floating around in ball water.
Your ball and butthole water, and you just swimming in
it. I think a bath is one of the most disgusting things you can do.
Oh, I love
it. I bet you do.
Absolutely sure love it. Is.
Do you like put a little in your mouth and spit it out like a whale?
Oh, shut up.
You know, you ever see
that's
those?
How we got Corona.
Yeah. You ever see Ricky Gervais when he like makes the he puts his chin down
and he does the faces
and the wad in the mouth and I'm like, oh god, you're disgusting. One giant hairy scrotum.
Ugh. No, I just I'll take a bottle of wine in, I'll put some music on.
Are you kidding me?
Some candles.
I, t- Oh, I love it. I love it. Wow. I've been known to watch like two movies in a bath.
Get the fuck. You're
come out.
How do you keep the water warm?
4-5 hours. You just keep topping up with hot water.
Wait, you're telling me you can sit in a bathtub for 5 hours?
Yes, easily.
Get the fuck out of here.
Honestly, I love it.
Is it like a giant womb for you?
Yeah, well, you know what it's like. When you've got kids, you need some time to yourself.
5 fucking hours?
But no, I haven't. Since we've had kids, I haven't had the bath, actually. But no, honestly, I love it. You put a film on, before you know it, the film's finished. You're like, oh, wow. Comfortable here.
Are you turning the, you like you're using your little feet to turn the hot water on?
Oh yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And what we used to have a special little table, like a fold up table in the bathroom, so we could put that out. So I could put my laptop on it next to the bath.
So, this is your
snacks and stuff, everything, right?
Always.
Get the
What are your bath snacks?
Good question. Good question. What are bath snacks?
I've got something quite filthy to tell you, right? God. So normally it's like, it sounds weird, nuts and things like that, you know, olives, you know, that kind of, you know, snacky
fuck's
finger
sake.
Food. But years ago, and I hadn't been with Amy that long, and I introduced her to the indulgent bath because she was the same. She was like, baths, no way, just have a shower. And I'm like, listen. So, you know, I put the candles on, and I put a film on for her and a bottle of wine. She was just like, this has changed my life. This is the best thing ever. But, you know, she was new to this whole indulgent bath. She didn't quite know the rules. So next time I'm in the bath now, she's like, okay, dinner will be ready in about an hour. And I'm like, okay, I'll have a nice bath first. 10 minutes later, she comes in, and she's got a whole chili con carne for me. And she thought this would be a nice surprise while I'm in the bath. A big bowl of chili. Like, you've taken it too far. This isn't. There's etiquette to the indulgent bath, and you've just broken the etiquette rules.
Are there bubbles in your bath?
Good.
Oh,
good
yes.
Question.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Are they scented?
You don't want somebody walking in and then just seeing your flash.
I was about to say, you need to camouflage the penis.
Exactly.
Don't fucking see it. Don't look at yourself in your fetid water. Your water's getting like dirtier and dirtier as the time goes. And your skin is getting all pruny.
Nice. That's the
best. How are you not cold? Are you slapping around? You're just like moving your hands around and...
Well, you have the room is warm. You know, have a nice warm room, and I say you just top up with hot when you need it.
And what do you do when you have to go take a leak?
Jeez, I'm not 70 years old. I can go a few hours without having to take a leak.
Wait a second, jeez. You're holding it the whole time?
Well, yes, I don't need to.
He's lying.
Yes,
he's full of shit.
How often
I'm
do you leak?
I'm assuming you're just like letting loose while you're in the tub.
Oh, Jesus, no, I'm not English. Jesus, I wouldn't piss in the bath. Jesus.
Oh, speaking of which, one of our listeners gave me some stick about, I asked Joe Maynard where you go to the bathroom when you're on a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. Hmm. And I guess somebody made joke about it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to ask that again. I just had James Fleming on. He was a tank driver in the Army, and I was going to ask where you go. And I thought, well, I don't need to be known as the guy to ask where you go to the bathroom all the time. Well, when we got off, James was like, I wish you asked me where I go to the bathroom on the tank. It was like a great story. I was just like, I got shamed into, you know, I got shamed. So, I mean.
So what do they do? Have they got a bucket? What do they do?
There's, I mean, apparently they're like leaning out. They're leaning out, and it's a whole big production. But like, I didn't get into it. So I was just like, yeah, I should have asked. And
hang
like,
your ass out the door.
Yeah, he actually sent me a picture of one of the guys who's like slinging it right over the side. It's like, well, look, we got to go. You got to go. I can't do baths. I can't do baths. I have done jacuzzis, but I can't do a bath. As soon as your kind of feet start to get pruny, I get like I hate that shit. I don't like to be cold, and I don't want to be wet all the time.
Yeah, I remember when you're talking about having a jacuzzi. I remember the first time I'd moved out and I had my own sort of flat, my own apartment, and it had like a little jacuzzi bath in there. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. So I fill it up, and it's, you know, it's nice and full. Jump in the bath, then I press the button to turn the jets on, and all this crappy, shitty black water just comes and shot all over me. It's like, oh yeah. So, maybe I should have tested that beforehand. Yeah. So if you're not using them regularly, it's just going to all the shitty water is just going to squirt out.
I also remember why I don't like taking baths is when a long time ago when we had our first cat, Hillary tried to toilet train the cat? There was like a way where you can like, you put like a box on the top of the toilet, yeah, and then you cut the hole out. Next thing you know, so our cat was so furious with this whole thing. He just decided while we were gone for like a couple of days, he just took a huge shit in the tub. And when we tried cleaning it out, it stained the toilet, so it stained the tub. So there was like this, like, we, no matter what we did, it was like we just couldn't get rid of this color, discoloration. And I'm just like, there's, I'm not standing there, but I'm certainly not, you know, stewing in it. So
yeah, oh, which that also reminds me. So about shitting in the bathtub. Back in the UK, before we come to France and so on, I had this business. It was called Founders Hub, and it was like a shared space for people to come and work and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we got professionals doing all the sort of the logos and all this kind of stuff. And a friend of mine looked at me, he said, do you realize that that says Founder Shub? And I'm like, no, it says Founders Hub. But so, you know, what's that? He's like, you don't know what a shub is. I'm like, no, what's the shub? Do you guys know what a shub is?
No.
It's a shit in a bathtub. And this is like a sexual preference for some people. Gross. It's what they do. Oh. And it was like, so shubbing is a real thing. And I'm like, oh, shit. So, yeah, so we found a shub for a while.
But, oh, because it was all one word? Or
it was all one word, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So when you read it out, it looked like
so
it
found a shub. Found a shub.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Anyway, enough about shit in your bath. What else are you guys up to this weekend?
Well, my kid and my wife are going out to California to look at colleges. And oh, wow. I am... Oh, nice. Yeah.
Like what? Like one of the UCs?
Yeah, UCs and then a couple other places. So they're going to do that. And then while they're gone, I have to catch up on some shit. So I'm going to... I actually, Sunday, I'm forging two hammers out and... You know, get a couple of extra things done, do some, you know, I have lots of work to do, but this weekend is going to be, you know, and trying to make the least amount of mess in the house as possible. I refer to it as the goat path. Like, I will not walk through, I don't want to, like, have to do a major cleanup before they get home, so I'll goat path the whole house and not touch certain things and just kind of, like, you know, that's what I'm doing. Catch up on movies, stuff like that.
You got any,
Mareka?
Do you have any movies, Jeff? Real quick, that you're wanting to catch up on?
Good question. I do actually. Ivan Reitman, the film director of Ghostbusters, he just died, and Howard Stern. He was the producer on Howard Stern's Private Parts, and I thought, you know what, that would be a great movie to watch. I haven't seen Private Parts in a while, so I'm going to watch Private Parts. That's the Howard Stern movie, Craig. You should watch that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any grand plans.
I gotcha.
We were watching the Olympics, and that was fun. And
I finally just watched Social Dilemma. That I wish I had watched it a while back.
Oh,
that is,
yeah.
That's very heavy, but also good information to keep in mind. I find myself scrolling now. I'm like, get the fuck out of my hands. And I just drop my phone and go find something to do.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was that film, but I use social media far, far less now than I did, you know, a year or two ago. Yeah, there's some days where I just won't go on anything without realizing, you know. It's just like, gee, yeah. And yeah, it is quite a powerful film, though, I think. Have you seen Tinder Swindler yet?
No. You were going to talk about that last episode. Go ahead, do it now.
It is fucking nuts. So, I won't give it away because I think you should probably see it because it is just crazy. There's this guy who was sort of ripping women off on Tinder. And it starts off, you're thinking, what the, how is he ripping people? Because he's like, he's flying these girls like around the world to have dinner with him in the most expensive restaurants in the world. And they're going on helicopters and stuff like that. And you're like, but how is he, do you know what I mean? You're thinking, how is this happening? But it all sort of unravels and it is fucking, and it's a true story. Oh,
wow. Where do you see the movie?
What was that, sorry?
Where can you watch it?
Netflix.
Okay. I'm
Netflix.
On it.
Yeah, it is crazy. And the last sort of 5 or 10 minutes as well, you're just like, what the hell? It is crazy. But there's all these memes now that you see, and it's like, I can't do that because my enemies will find out. And if you see the film, you know what that means. It's brilliant.
Did you ever listen to Dirty John?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I saw it. I didn't listen to it. I actually saw the, was it Netflix or Apple TV?
I'm not 100% sure. Mareko, do you know what Dirty John is?
No.
It's this true crime podcast that is about, follows this dude, and it's totally crazy. It's a totally crazy story. The podcast is incredible. If you want like some...
John like, isn't a guy that pays women to have sex with him?
No. It's the guy's name is John, okay. But he goes, you know, he becomes... I mean, it's not about prostitution. It's about this dude who just like, kind of like, he's a bad guy. But it's an incredible listen. Incredible listen.
They made it a TV show with Eric Bana playing John as well. It was
the good. Pods, the podcast is, I mean, it's incredible. It's an incredible podcast.
Right. Yeah.
So. Any
That's us then. That's the weekend. Oh, no, Mareko, you didn't say what you're up to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, next week is my kids' like school break, and so we're going up to the lake house on an island, and nice. We're just going to – it's unfortunate it's not summertime because it's a beautiful place to go swimming and stuff like that, but they do have some nice state parks that go down to down to the ocean water, down to the Puget Sound. And so we're probably going to do some hiking around. It's more like just kind of going for a stroll, but we can also do some clamming, some like steamer clams you can pick up and harvest off the beaches. And so we did that a few weeks ago. It was a lot of fun. And so we'll probably try to do that again while we're up there.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's just, and you know, they got a fire pit, and I think the weather's actually supposed to be decent. So we'll probably and because it's, you know, winter right now, you know, the sun is still going down early, so we'll be able to like do a nighttime fire and roast marshmallows and shit like that, and it'll be fun.
That'll be great.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's winter, but it's changing sure quickly. We had cranes flying above today, which is always a good sign that spring's coming. So yeah.
So
it's coming.
So next week, it just could just be me and Mareko. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly.
We'll
possibly.
Keep in touch. And okay. Wishing you the best of luck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, an hour, you know, 2 hours out of a day, once a week isn't an issue, even with a newborn baby, I don't think. But as long as we're not in hospital, that's the story.
Well, we're sending, all the listeners are sending you and your wife and your family the best of luck. And, you know, everybody, you know, give Craig a, I don't know, wish him a good bath or something. I don't know.
You'll all know when the baby is born because the sharple that day will be the baby's name.
Yeah,
that's
Hugo.
Idea. I like that. Five letters.
Yeah, but you wanted to. There's a U in it, right?
There is.
All right. There's a U in the name. So there you go, guys.
Have you got on the Wordle train yet, Mareko?
No. You should try it.
Oh, come on,
it's good.
Come or try sharple.
I haven't
try
even tried the sharple
because it's knife related.
People love sharple. Are you all got you loaded up with words for the next?
I need more. I think I'm going to be running out in the next few days. So yeah, I need more five letter words that are to do with.
You might have to run out of knife making and be like just making, you know.
Possibly, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll send you something this weekend.
Okay, cool. Right, have a good weekend, everybody. That was fun.
Good show.
And I shall speak to you all again next week.
Peace.
Bye for now.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.